Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, Monday, happy day. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy day. Thursday, Friday, happy day. Saturday, what a day. Move it all week to do.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Terminology. Along with host McCauley Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm all right. You?
Good. I'm doing all right.
That's good to hear, man. You know, we're gonna talk sports and entertainment like we always do. So, you know, I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the show. And, you know, basically, you know, we're going to leave off the show with the crazy saga that's going on with Matt Harvey on and off the field. We're also going to talk about Harvey's idol, on and off the field idol, Derek Jeter, as he finally takes his rightful place at Monument Park. And, you know, he'll be honored tomorrow night. We're also going to talk about the Rangers getting upset by the Senators. And also, you know, what's going on in WWE and, you know, much, much more. So, again, I want to thank you all for listening to this latest episode. And without further ado, let's just dive right into the current state of the Mets and Matt Harvey. I mean, this is ridiculous, man. Basically, Matt Harvey was apparently dating Adriana Lima, you know, the Victoria's Secret model. Apparently, he found out that she was being seen being allegedly intimate with her ex-boyfriend, Julian Edelman, and basically, you know, Harvey, you know, wasn't happy about it, and basically, you know, he had a very crazy weekend last week. You know, he didn't show up to work. He didn't show up to the Citi Field on Saturday, claiming to have a migraine, but apparently he was seen, he was playing golf, and he was also seen at a rock concert wearing a Met hat and a jersey, according to, you know, to that story you sent me.
No.
You know, like last week, and also don't know, when he came back on Sunday morning to pitch, that's when he got the bombshell of you know, that he got suspended for 3 games. So basically, as a result, Adam Welk, he made his Met debut, and he got beat up badly. I mean, you can't blame the guy. The guy was, he was ill-prepared to pitch that game. I mean, I know he's had some couple coffee in other places, but, you know, he just, they literally took him off Las Vegas, which, that's another reason why Mets AAA affiliate, the 51s, they should have a AAA team that's closest to their stadium, like it was when they had Buffalo, you know, a few years ago, the Buffalo Bisons, because it's ridiculous. They have the worst distance between the AAA team and the Major League team, so they have to, like, try to plan these stuff out in advance. But who would have foreseen Matt Harvey getting suspended? So as a result, Adam Welk got lit up like a Christmas tree. And me, you know, I didn't see the game, you know, because I came back from church. So when I was looking for the scores and I saw it was 7-0, I'm like, Adam Welk, I'm like, is this a typo? And sure enough, I found out you know, Harvey was suspended. And it just adds another horrible saga that happened to Matt Harvey. you know, The Rise and Fall of Matt Harvey, The Dark Knight. You know, it's kind of like ironic, kind of like The Dark Knight movie. There's a famous quote. Basically, you know, like when you live long enough, you see your heroes turn into villains. And, you know, Harvey, man, he had the city, you know, on its, you know, on its knees, man. Every time he pitched, it was Harvey Day. You know, every time he pitched, it was a holiday. It was, you know, supposed to be the second coming of Doc Gooden. You know, every time he pitched, and from 2013 to 2015, you know, when he was healthy, I mean, he took on that mantle of the Dark Knight, striking fear into the heart of every batter who faces him on the, you know, in the game, man. And he just, you know, he just gave you that, you know, that little semblance of what Doc Gooden was, you know, during that era in the 80s, you know. But it's just so sad what happened. I mean, he's never been the same ever since he had the injury. And then when he came back, you know, 2015, you know, he pitched well. He pitched better than anybody who came back from Tommy John in that first year back. But the horrors of Matt Harvey, man, it began in game five. You know, he was pitching a masterful game, and then he had to argue with Terry Collins to keep him into the game. And it's like he exerted all his energy that he needed, you know, to stay in the game. And then when he came back and tried to pitch, you know, he wasn't the same guy. And sure enough, the Mets blew that game, you know, blew that lead and the series. And the Mets have never been the same again. And Matt Harvey has never been the same again. Last year, he had his worst season ever. He was, 4-10 with a almost 5.5 ERA. I mean, it was a nightmare of a season. So you thought Matt Harvey, you know, just like the third trilogy in the Christopher Nolan Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises, but it hasn't been the case, man. The Dark Knight rose and fell again, because he's definitely not the same guy anymore. Ever since, you know, he couldn't get out of that, you know, that inning and seal that victory for the Mets, hasn't been the same. Even Familia hasn't been the same either. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, he had horrible defense pitching for him. I mean, playing for him in that series, and he gave up a record 3 blown saves in that series. And yes, sure, you know, Familia did have 51 saves, which was a franchise record with the Mets, breaking Benitez's record of 43. You know, and he also tied the record, I think, in 2015 also. But it's just a sad case. And not to mention, as I've been saying, you know, Familia's been being overworked along with all the other pitchers like Reed and Salas and Blevins. All these guys are being overpitched. And last time I checked, there was like only one other reliever in the top five, you know, in the National League that's being overworked than these guys. I mean, these guys are being overworked. And, you know, I've been saying all this season, if they keep pitching like this, you know, Familia's arm's going to fall off, because he's pitching in games where they have 5-run leads. He's pitching in games where they're behind by a run or two or more runs. As a closer, I understand Terry Collins wanted to, you know, ease him back into the game. You know, he didn't want to put him in pressure situation, but he's the closer. You can't let your closer get beat up like that and pitch meaningless innings and pitches. And when you need him on the next day, he's not going to be the same. And that was evident in the last game he pitched. And, you know, he got beat up badly. He had a one-run lead. Yes, Flores had a horrible error. And, you know, Terry Collins, you know, he left them in too long. I mean, I'm trying to remember the batter he faced. I can't, it escapes me right now. But the batter was batting like 5-for-6 against him, and he left him in the game. He got hit, and then the rest was history. And the Mets never recovered. And the Mets haven't been playing good at all. The pitching has been suspect. You know, the hitting has been all right. I mean, Neil Walker, he's heating up. He kills the Brewers. He has apparently 11 career home runs against the Brewers. But you know, this team is inconsistent. They're playing horrible defense. The pitching can't get out of the fourth or fifth inning. It's a miracle if they could get out of the sixth. And you know, it just goes back to, you know, Familiar, you know, being injured. He's going to have surgery. He's going to miss the rest of the year. And then Matt Harvey, you know, trying to redeem himself after that weird week he had, you know, off and on and off the field. And, you know, he was going through trouble Friday night, which was yesterday. You know, he didn't have command or control of his pitches, but he was just trying to fight his way through it. Then he got into the sixth inning, you know, after giving up two runs, and then he gave up a two-run home run. And then he gave up a back-to-back home run. And the look in his eyes, he didn't have that desire, that grit that Matt Harvey used to have. I mean, it's sad to say, but it looks like he's done. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to come back from this. I know he's young, but the only way I could see him coming back from this is if he leaves, you know, the Mets and most likely go to sign with the Yankees. I just don't see he has that fire anymore. I hope I'm wrong, because if Mets have any chances of bouncing back and trying to be a championship caliber team, they need Matt Harvey to go back to his 2013-2015 version of himself and lead this team to victory. Because this Matt Harvey right here is not doing it. What's your thoughts on this whole situation?
Well, you know, going back to the whole Matt Harvey situation last week, you know, we don't know the full story. Only Matt Harvey knows the full story, whether he was partying late night or he was out in nightclub and drank too much because he became jealous of Adriana Lima, with hanging out with Julian Edelman, or if he was actually golfing. We don't know. You know, only he knows the real story. So, but there's still no excuse for him not notifying the team of where he was Saturday when he was supposed to be, practicing or on the field with his teammates. There's no excuse for that. So, you know, he's at fault for what he did. And, you know, Mets were in the right for suspending him, you know. He did eventually apologize later. But, you know, there's still no excuse for it. You know, that's a complete letdown, you know, to not notify the organization and, you know, let your teammates down like that by not being able to pitch because you couldn't show up, you know. So, he was completely in the wrong for that. And, you know, like you said, Matt Harvey hasn't been the same since 2015. You know, last year he had a horrible year. This year he hasn't had a good year either. He could still redeem himself. He's still a young guy. He's under 30 years old. You know, he still has one more year left with the Mets. You know, maybe hopefully he can have a bounce back year this year or next year. And who knows, maybe re-signs with the Mets or goes somewhere else and, you know, becomes regains his Matt Harvey form that we saw the first few years here in New York. But, you know, it's still a unfinished story with Matt Harvey. You know, he's still a young guy. He still has, you know, years left in front of him to pitch. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see if this, if this closes the storybook chapter on his career, but I don't think he's finished yet. I still think he still has a lot more pitching to do. So we'll see.
I agree with you to some extent. I mean, he still has a chance. He's a young guy, but I'm thinking, like, right now, in the mindset he is, he looks like he's done as that dominant bulldog guy as a Met pitcher. He looks like he's his confidence is completely shot. I mean, you know, you never know. Someone could talk
baseball,
in his
you
ear
can never
and
tell,
maybe
though.
Spark something in him.
You can never tell baseball, you know. You can never tell with baseball because, you know, in baseball, we've seen time to time where one year pitchers look horrible. Next year they come back, they look like Cy Young, you know. So you never count these pitchers out. You know, they always find a way to, like, you know, adjust and change their pitching style. So that's what Matt Harvey probably needs to do. But, you know, I could see him becoming an ace again. You know, I don't think he's finished.
I mean, it's possible, but time is running out for him, to be honest with you.
He's 28 years old. He still has a long career.
And I agree with you, but I'm saying as the dominant guy, and he got Boris as an agent.
Yeah.
So he's going to be motivated to try to bounce back.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But time is running out. You know, the window of the Mets, you know, winning a championship is slowly closing because free agency is coming, you know, rapidly as the years go by. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
They gotta win. They have to win it or else, you know, it's gonna be a waste with all this great pitching and they couldn't win it all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be kind of like the Braves. I mean, they won in 95, you know, but, you know, or even the 80s Mets, you know, they won in 86, but, you know, both of those franchises in their era, they had powerful pitching and, you know, it's the same, the both franchises kind of win more for their respective franchises. But like you said, he's still young, but, you know, Father Time doesn't wait for nobody.
Well, you know, the Mets have more issues than just the Matt Harvey. I mean, they have injuries also, you know, and they're chasing the Nationals right now in the division. So, I mean, the injuries and chasing the Nationals, those are bigger than the Matt Harvey situation right now. So that's what the Mets have to focus on. They have to focus on becoming healthy again and try to catch up with Nationals or, you know, try to remain competitive until some of these guys can come back, like Cespedes and Syndergaard, you know. So
you're right. Duda just came back from an injury. But it's just ironic that Familia, he's going to, you know, he might miss the rest of the year, and basically the same team that eliminated them in the playoffs last year, the Giants, you know, is the same thing that might ended his season this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to Terry Collins being a predictable manager. Hunter Pence was, if I'm not mistaken, was batting 5 for 6 against him, career-wise. And Familia didn't have it. You know, after pitching three straight games in a row, including the second game in a 5-run lead, I mean, obviously, like, Terry Collins was arguing that, you know, it's not the first time Familia's pitched, you know, 3 games in a row.
Right.
And that's true. But that ruined a very good start by Tommy Malone, who was trying to resuscitate his career. I think he pitched for the Brewers previously. The Mets, you know, basically getting their butt whoop in this series, this current series right now. But, you know, the Mets got to, you know, turn their act together.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
You know, hopefully they could, you know, somehow turn it around and pitch the way they're supposed to be pitching and, you know, get this offense back on track. And switching gears, we were talking about Matt Harvey. Now we're talking about Adriana Lima's another alleged former boyfriend, and that's Derek Jeter. And he's going to be finally honored with his number 2 retired as the Yankees. And I know you're going to have a front row seat about that tomorrow. So what's your thoughts on it?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm going to be there, Derek Jeter retirement day. Yankees are finally going to put his number in Monument Park with the other Yankee greats. And, yeah, man, it just, you know, I guess puts a finishing touch to a great career that Derek Jeter has had with the New York Yankees. You know, five-time World Series champion, has over 3,000 career hits, 14-time All-Star, 10 girls pregnant. I mean, this guy did it all, you know? So it's going to be great. I'm going to be there. And tomorrow, since today the game was canceled because of rainout, it's a doubleheader. So fans who have tickets for tomorrow get to see both games tomorrow. So I get to see my first doubleheader with that Derek Jeter day. So it's going to be great.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it.
And, you know, Yankees are going to try to, try to win a game against the Astros. The Astros have been, you know, been a Yankee nemesis, especially with Castro, you know, who's you know, killing everybody. You know, he's not only a Yankee killer. He kills everybody. He's that good, you know.
Well,
so Yankees, you know, they have the doubleheader. So, you know, Yankees, you know, can bounce back, you know, and continue their charge in the race.
Yeah, you know, Astros are a good
game losing streak.
Yeah, we lost that final game to the Reds in that two-game series, and then we've lost two in a row to the Astros here. And Astros are a good team, you know. You know, people picked them to win a World Series. They were picked to win the World Series a couple of years ago. They have a young team. They have great pitching, good defense. You know, the best record in MLB right now, so they're tough. You know, it's although the game on Thursday, you know, we could have won, but Ellsbury was thrown out at the plate, so we failed to beat them on Thursday. And then yesterday was a, you know, we got shut out. Actually, we scored one run, but you know, we couldn't. They're pitching again so good that we couldn't really do anything. So hopefully tomorrow these. Two games tomorrow, maybe we could sweep them. But we'll see. You know, it's we just got to end the three-game losing streak right now. It's what we got to do to get back on track again.
And you guys got two chances of doing that tomorrow. So,
yep.
You know, all Yankees need to win these two games and get that right the ship back and, you know, continue their charge.
Yeah, hopefully Jeter brings his clutchness tomorrow.
Yeah, I think, you know, you never know. Something memorable could happen. They had Yogi Berra Day, and, you know, they had that, what, perfect game?
Yeah.
You know, so anything's possible. You never know.
Yeah, you're right.
And speaking of which, one team in New York that wish they could have that Yankee magic is unfortunately the New York Rangers, man. They officially got eliminated, you know, in the playoffs Tuesday night in Game 6 by the final score 4-2. Yeah, man, you know, it's really messed up. You know, Zibanejad and Kreider, they scored in a losing effort. And, you know, the Rangers, they blew a big opportunity losing to a team that they should have beat.
Yeah.
And now, unfortunately, you know, they can't advance. Now the Senators, upsetted the Blue Shirts.
Yeah, I mean the Rangers is Lundqvist's time is running out. You know, he's getting older, and you know the Rangers. As a team, they're running out, you know. It feels like kind of – they remind you kind of like the Knicks during the 90s,
mm-hmm.
you know, with that great run
Absolutely.
Where they went to the finals and conference finals. But they always came close but always failed, you know, in the end. That's how this Rangers team in this decade reminds me of.
Yeah. the Garden Curse.
Yeah.
And the Senators, they continue their winning ways. They defeated the Penguins 2-1.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, and Bobby Ryan, he scored the game-winning goal in OT. So, you know, basically, you know, the Senators, you know, they keep on rolling. They continue to upset teams.
Yeah, they
and
you
in
know,
the
they might take it all. Who knows?
You never know. They could be a team of destiny.
Yeah.
And on the Western Conference side, James Neal, he scored an OT to give the Predators a 1-0 win over the Ducks. So, you know, it is what it is, man. That, you know, NHL is heating up.
Yeah.
And it looks like it could be the Senators' year right now.
It looks like it. Damn
and,
Canadians.
Yep. Yeah, man, they couldn't fight the teams from – they couldn't – the Rangers couldn't – you know, they had their fill of the teams from Canada.
Yeah.
First it was the Canadians, now the Senators.
One way or the other,
but,
the Canadians will screw you.
And the Penguins are finding out the hard way, too. So, switching to – to the WWE. And what was I gonna say? Last week on Raw it was really horrible. Both Raw and SmackDown were in London. We're in London, but you know, usually in Raw and SmackDown they have London type cars and those double decker buses and the phone booth. But Raw was, like, really bland. There was nothing, you know, memorable that happened. Unless if
but
you want
still.
To count the Fashion Police skit on SmackDown. I mean,
yeah,
there was nothing. And the Nakamura versus Dolph Ziggler feud is the same skit segment all over and over again. You know, Dolph Ziggler talks smack about Nakamura. He attacks Nakamura, and then Nakamura reverses it and attacks him, you know, to set up their eventual match at Backlash, I think in 2 weeks from now. So,
you know,
yeah, the state of WWE is really boring. I think the Superstar Shakeup happened too early. It should have happened this week Monday, and the way how the stuff happened, it's pretty evident. They should have waited. They should have waited until this week.
You know, when they did the shakeup, you know, I thought it was great for Raw. Raw, you know, they got some great superstars back. I thought Raw got some great superstars back in the shakeup, but
right.
You know, right now it's been
in Ambrose.
Yeah, but it's been like the Miz show, and you know, it's like. It has got kind of stale lately. I think WWE should just go back and just have, you know, superstars just doing both Raw and SmackDown if they can. You know, just go back to that. You know, forget this Raw SmackDown split
yeah,
for
yeah.
a while. You know, bring it back in another few years maybe.
Yeah, I think the split was good, but this shakeup, I don't know, the shakeup weakened SmackDown. Amazing, you know. So I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, now that the Payback pay-per-view is out of the way, and you know, Randy Orton doesn't have two feuds with Wyatt and Jinder Mahal at the same time, and you know, all these other feuds happening on simultaneously, like Styles versus Jericho or Kevin Owens, because they were teasing that until. You know, Owens won in the rematch, and he's the champion. And that nothing new is happening on either show. So
yeah,
you know, we'll see what happened with that. And then on the NBA front, the Wizards They defeated the Celtics, and this will force a game seven on Monday night. And the Warriors, let me see, the Warriors, they're gonna battle Spurs game one tomorrow. So, you know, the NBA, man, we're getting down to the nitty gritty, and then I think the draft is coming on Thursday night. Or is it the – no, I think it's the draft lottery. The draft lottery, I think, is happening Thursday night.
Yeah, the lottery, yep.
So, you know, we'll definitely see what's going to go down. And hopefully the Knicks can shock the world and get a high pick. And not like last year, when they dropped, they lost their standing. They should have had, what, I think the second pick, and then they fell to, like, what, number four or something like that?
Yeah.
Let's hope the Knicks don't lose but in any case, we'll let you guys know what happened next week's episode. So I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show, as always. Thank you.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. And, of course, I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm Wayne Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace, everybody.